Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's who I miss, Lucille. Praise be to God. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Familiar verse, verse 17. Colossians 4:17. Apostle Paul speaking. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you that each of us has a ministry, Lord. We thank you for the priesthood of believers, Lord. We thank you that you've given us the great privilege of being able to minister your word and your truth to others, Lord God. Father, my prayer is that each one of us will bring to completion that ministry that you've put upon our heart, that you've led us to, Lord, regardless of what our station in life is, regardless of what task you've called us to, none is better than the other, Lord God. What matters is that we be obedient to you and fulfill that ministry that we have received in you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to God. I always like to give the context of the messages. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, established by a disciple named Epaphras during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. In about 60 AD, Paul was attempting to rid the church, not only at Colossae, but at Laodicea, of a heresy that had crept in, the heresy of syncretism. And what that means simply is that they were trying to synchronize paganism, Judaism, and Christianity all at once. There was mixture, and God hates mixture, doesn't he? That's what the scripture says. So he wrote this letter to speak out against that, and in it he stresses salvation and spiritual completeness through Jesus alone. Jesus alone. There is no other source of salvation and spiritual completeness but by Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
Had a whole teaching on that this morning. Archippus was called by Paul in the book of Philemon a fellow soldier. That's what we are. We're soldiers for Christ, aren't we?
Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, I remember when I was in the Methodist church, they took out that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. It was too militaristic. One of the great classics. Amen?
Amen.
Onward Christian soldiers. Praise be to God. He was very likely, Archippus, Philemon's son. Remember the book of Philemon?
Yeah.
Short book in the New Testament where Onesimus, Philemon's slave, had run away. But Paul converted him to Christianity, and then he wrote a letter to Philemon, urging him to accept Onesimus back, have mercy on him, as God had shown mercy. Amen? Praise be to God. You know, it's a whole new ball game when somebody gets converted to the Lord. We have to look at that person differently than we did before. It's very hard within families because, you know, I know with me, my family knew what I was like and the things that I had done in my life. And then all of a sudden, here I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature, blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, on fire for the Lord. And it takes some getting used to.
That's right.
When I was working at the record all those years, it took them a lot of getting used to. And I don't know if they did or not. But, you know, when you're on fire for the Lord, you can't help but share the great things that he's done in your life. Take heed to the ministry. What is ministry? As used here, it means serviceable labor, service assistance and a compassionate love toward the needy, especially those of the household of faith within the Christian community. It comes from a Greek word which gives us the offices of deacon and minister. Praise be to God. It speaks of assuming a humble posture. What is required of thee? That you walk humbly before God. None of us has anything to boast of, do we? Not a thing.
That's right.
I could play the guitar like Eric Clapton, but if I could, it would be God having given me the ability. And I would have nothing to boast about. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 20, 25 to 28. But Jesus called them, his disciples, unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Praise be to God. He set the example, didn't he? He even washed his disciples' feet, even Judas's feet, whom he knew was going to betray him and turn him over to the religious authorities. He washed his feet as well. And he says, "As I have done to you, do unto others." We, like Jesus, are not called to be ministered unto or to lord it over anyone else, but to minister unto others. Like Archippus, we as believers are all ministers. And we've all received a ministry. Even if it's nothing formal that we know of, we are called to minister the gospel and the truth and compassion to other people, aren't we?
That's right.
Outside the body of faith as well as inside. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Another word that came up in today's teaching. Beautiful word, reconcile. "And hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What is that word? Jesus, the gospel, truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. People don't like to hear that there's no other way but Jesus, but that's what he said, isn't it? And he's proved it over and over again. In other words, by sending Jesus into the world to die for mankind's sins, he closed the infinite distance between the Father and the sinner. Walt was talking last week about adaisement. Adaisement is in Scripture. It means a mediator. And Jesus was the mediator.
Amen.
Who came and mediating between God, whose wrath sat upon us like a sword of Damocles, and the sinner. And Jesus took the hand of the Father and the hand of the sinner, and he reconciled us and eliminated that gap, that distance between us, so that now we have access to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministry that God has given each of us is that of spreading this wonderful news to others, that they too can be reconciled with God. You know, I've said it before. Again, Bob was talking about peace. The peace of God and the peace with God. When Jesus came and the angels announced his advent, they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." What that peace meant was that Jesus came to make it possible to have peace with God. It didn't mean peace on earth in the sense of cessation of wars and conflicts, but that's the ultimate peace, isn't it? To make peace with God. We hear people say that when people are on their deathbeds. You have to make your peace with God. And it's absolutely true. And it makes no difference, even if right up to the very end, with your last breath, you're a sinner and rebellious, but at that last breath, say, Jesus, come into my heart. You can be saved. Amen?
Right.
Just like the thief on the cross. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. He didn't get baptized. He didn't go through any formal training, instruction, or anything else. This day you'll be with me in paradise. That's all we have to do is believe in our hearts. Confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And we shall be saved. Amen? That's how I got saved. That's how everybody gets saved. You know, I was listening to a woman being interviewed who presented herself as a relationship counselor. And she had, you know, some practical suggestions for, you know, husband and wife and parent and child and that sort of thing. But I was reminded of certain scriptures I often read when I perform a wedding. As she was speaking, and it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, talking about relationships. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are the two cords of the relationship. Husband, wife, mother, child, brother, sister, whatever the relationship is. But that if that third cord is the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of that relationship, and it's not easily broken, is it? In fact, if we keep Jesus in all of our relationships, that cord will never, ever be broken. Praise be to God. Jesus said he came not only to preach the gospel to the poor, but he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. You don't have your NIV, do you? Because that phrase is not in it. They took that one out. That was a good one, too. To heal the brokenhearted. Do you know how many times I've stood on that scripture? Why would they take it out? Why would they remove it? To preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, now is the accepted time, isn't it? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. It's not promised to anyone. Amen. The next minute isn't promised to anyone. Today is the day to get right with the Lord. Amen. Right here and now, when I commit a sin in thought, word, or deed, I immediately confess it to the Lord, repent of it, and ask not only that he forgive me, but that he cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. Because it's the fertile field of unrighteousness that these sins are grown out of. And we need to have it all cleansed. Praise be to God. Amen. That covers a lot of territory. Jesus introduced a new era, a new hope for the world's broken and oppressed. Amen. And tormented. And he said, I am the answer. Put your trust in me. Praise be to God. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope never disappoints. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. And it's our job as ambassadors for Christ to introduce others to the great reconciler, Jesus the righteous. You know, God has provided us ministry gifts. You I know a lot of people, maybe there's some even in this congregation, who don't view me as a gift, but that's what the Bible says. I am a ministry gift. In Ephesians 4, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In Romans 12, Paul again talks about God-given gifts and stresses that we should never get out ahead of God with those giftings. I shared last week about the guy who, got ordained a minister and set himself up on a stool on a stage with a light shining on him, and the stool turned around so that it created shadows on the stage, and he was trying to act like Peter. Said of Peter that even his shadow falling on people led to their healing and deliverance. He got out ahead of whatever gift he may have had, if he had any to begin with. Nor should we refuse our gift out of doubt or fear or any other motive. It's okay to pray with somebody in the produce aisle at PEX. And if somebody doesn't like it or they feel uncomfortable, too bad. If God called you to pray for that person in the produce aisle, then be obedient. There's a reason for it. We shouldn't either envy anybody else with their gifts and their callings, for we all have a contribution to make, each member of the body of Christ. And in verse 7 of Romans 12, he speaks specifically of ministry. He says, one who has the gift of ministry, and we're not speaking of clergy here, has a servant heart and looks for opportunities to be of service to others. You know, that whole clergy-laity thing is a holdover from the Roman Catholic Church. The New Testament doesn't teach that. I am no better or higher than you. God puts people in different places within the body so that everything can be done decently and in order. There are some congregations who get together, and whoever they believe the Spirit is moving upon will get up and lead the service and preach a message or whatever. And if that ever occurred here, I wouldn't mind, if I knew it was of the Spirit, stepping aside and letting someone else preach or teach or whatever. There's no such thing as, clergy with the collar and the robes and everything else. I don't see anything in the Bible. I don't see the word pope. I don't see the word cardinal. I don't see the word archbishop. I don't even see the word nun. What I see is what we just described, and a few others. Bishop is interchangeable with pastor. But that whole thing has gotten out of hand. You know, like I said, when my first service at the Methodist Church, I asked somebody in the congregation to open in prayer. And they said, "What do you mean? That's your job. That's what we pay you for." And that was a rude awakening. it was a nice introduction to the United Methodist Church and 3 years of ministry in that capacity. Praise be to God. But regardless of what form our ministering or serving takes, we need to realize and embrace the fact that we're all priests of God, aren't we? And as such, we should take heed. I want to give one Old Testament scripture and one new. First one is Malachi 2:7. it's out of Malachi chapter 3 that we get, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. I preached a whole message on that once, expanding on what Bob said this morning. Our tithes are not just money. It's our time. It's the giving of ourselves. It's giving everything over to the Lord. It's acknowledging that everything belongs to Him. Whatever is in my bank account belongs to the Lord. And my tithing is just an expression of acknowledging that fact. It all belongs to You, Lord. You know, Paul does say that we should purpose in our hearts as to what we want to give. I never do that because I know it's going to be more than my tithe. God proved that to me. I did that. Well, you know, I don't know about this tithing business when I first got saved. I think I'll just purpose in my heart. Lord, what would You have me give? And He said, everything in your pocket. And I happen to have my paycheck for that week in my pocket. I never prayed that prayer again. I said, I'll tithe. It's a lot cheaper. Praise be to God. You know what I mean. No disrespect there. Praise be to God. But in Malachi 2:7, it says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Each one of us is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Our message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the love of God. Also, God's justice. We can't leave that out. God is a God of love, but if He's rejected right up to the point where we breathe our last, then we're going to experience His judgment. And that love will cease. The Apostle Peter said something similar in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's just take a look at that. Each of us has been given gifts, talents, abilities to perform as members of the body of Christ. And we're called to be good stewards with all of God's blessings. Amen. To use them unto God's glory and to edify the rest of the body or people outside the body. We can either tear people down or we can lift them up. And God says, lift them up.
Yeah.
Edify. That's what it means. And that means we're not to hoard them and use them for our own benefit, but rather, we're talking with, as Ruth mentioned, to be channels of blessings to flow to others. That stream has to keep moving, or else it's going to die. When Peter uses the phrase, the manifold grace of God, look that up. He's speaking literally of the multicolored or magnificently varied outworkings of God's grace. Because each one of us is different. You can set us loose in a mall, you know, where we're going to go witness to people or hand out tracts or whatever, and I'm going to speak something different than you are. And you're going to approach people in a different way than I would. Because we're all different. We're all unique. We talk about every snowflake is different. But every human is unique as well. God created each one of us as a unique human being. And we are going to glorify Him through all eternity as the various facets of a diamond. You know, I don't see myself as a precious stone, but God does. Praise be to God. And one day, I'm going to glorify Him. And He's going to take pleasure in me. And in each person around His beautiful throne, He's going to take pleasure. I created you because I gave you this little nugget. And you took that nugget and you ran with it. And it brought me glory and it edified other people. Praise be to God. And God is going to bless us for that throughout all eternity. Don't hide your light under a bushel.
That's right.
He used to sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Praise be to God. It goes back to my Sunday school days where my mother used to drag me to church every Sunday, kicking and screaming. But it all sunk in there. I could recite the Lord's Prayer and everything else. It got in there. And it all came back one day in the glorious manifestation of the Spirit of God entering into me. Praise be to God. We're to speak as the oracles of God. In other words, we're to make sure that we're led by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that God can't use our primitive methods of sharing. He can. Sometimes it just takes a testimony. Well, you know, I don't know about that. People ask you all kinds of theological questions and everything else. You know, what's the purpose of life and everything? Look, I don't know all that other stuff, but I can tell you this is what God did for me.
Amen. Amen.
This is what He did in my life. Amen. And what He continues to do day after day, week after week, year after year. All Scripture is given by God and is profitable. But the most effective words are the ones we share that come and flow from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes just a word can just transform somebody's life. I've had times where I've been praying for someone and God would give me a word. He does that a lot with Walt. Gives him a word for the person. And that word can change a person's life. Their outlook, their perspective, everything else. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. The rhema of God. In fact, the word oracles means the declaration of God. It's not just His word, but it's a declaring of what is in the mind and heart of God to a person on an individual basis. I declare to you, this is what God is saying to you. And if you give heed and have ears to hear, He can transform your life. Has God ever used you to give a declaration to a person? He's done it with me on various occasions, especially in places where I administered, like in that AIDS ministry or in prisons and nursing homes. God has a special blessing to give to people who are seemingly hopeless. That's where He seems to pour out His hope more than any other place, because they need it so desperately. And He uses us to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Praise be to God. It's a thrill to both the giver and the receiver when we know that we know that we have delivered Spirit-led ministry. Now back to the beginning here. Like Archippus, we are urged to fulfill whatever ministry that we have been given in the Lord. We're to accomplish and perform fully whatever task God has placed upon our hearts. God spoke to me in an audible voice twice and said, "I'm calling you to preach." And I've done that ever since. I've preached, you know, to AIDS people, to in prisons and nursing homes. I've shared the first time I ever had to give any kind of message at all. You know, I was just there to provide some music for the pastor, and he gave the message and the altar call and everything else. And then one day in a snowstorm, the pastor couldn't make it. And it was Christmas. And I had to give a Christmas message, and I'd never spoken at a group before. But God, it wasn't me. God's anointing came upon me, and I was able to share, and people were blessed, and God was glorified, hopefully, and people were edified, and it lifted me up and said, "Hey, I can do this. With God's grace, I can do this." Praise be to God. Speak as of the oracles of God. Need to have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, amen, and to each member of the body. Why does He want us to fulfill our individual ministries? A, because it pleases and glorifies God. This is what I called you to, just like children with parents. When they are obedient and do what you tell them to do, you know, I want you to go out and rake the leaves. and you go out later, and there's no leaves raked. And nobody, the kid isn't anywhere to be found. That's not pleasing to the parent, is it? In fact, in my house, my father had hanging on a drawer, the handle of a drawer, a razor strop. He had a straight razor, and he used it to sharpen his razor, but it had another use as well. If we were disobedient or nasty or whatever. I remember he just got on me so badly because my mother had told me to do, had said something, and I said, well, she told me to do it. And he said, don't you ever call your mother she. She is your mother. You don't refer to her that way. That's fresh.
That's right.
Praise be to God. Secondly, it adds a whole new dimension of meaning to our individual lives, doesn't it? It edifies the body when each member is exercising his or her gifts and ministering according to the ability that God gives. Ephesians 4:16. Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, or knit together, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, or each part doing its share, maketh increase, causes growth, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'll quote a man I work with, who when we're, you know, putting the meals together and doing all this stuff, he says, we're like a well-oiled machine. And that's the way the body should be. Amen? A well-oiled machine. A word comes from here, a word comes from there. Whether it's in tongues or in English or whatever. If there's a tongues, then it needs to be interpreted. But God will use different people, different testimonies to reach others. And finally, we have to give an account, don't we? One day, to the Lord of glory. What we did with those gifts. Whether we sat on them, whether we let them languish, unused, or if we went forth and exercised that gift unto the glory of God and the edifying of other people, in or outside the body. Turn to Acts chapter 8 for a minute. I'm not going to recount this. It's a story right after, in chapter 7, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, or recorded martyr anyway. And then it talks about this man, Philip. Now, there was an apostle that Jesus called named Philip, but this isn't him. This is one of the seven men that was chosen to essentially wait on tables, to distribute food. Remember, the apostles, the church in Jerusalem had grown to at least 8,000 people. And many people stayed behind. They didn't go back to their homes after the feast of Passover, and they had to feed them. And the apostles were spending all this time feeding people and distributing food. And Peter said, wait a minute. You know, we need to give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. So let's pick out seven men. And they did. And you know, even in a menial task, or seemingly menial task like that, they made sure that each of those people was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to minister to the Lord in any capacity, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. And so Philip apparently was faithful in doing that, distributing the food. And what happened was that God went on to use him mightily in preaching to the hated Samaritans. Remember, God had told them, you're going to minister in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now the gospel has gone forth. Now there's a great persecution of the Christian church, and they are forced to go into Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth rather than stay in Jerusalem and be martyred. So Philip effectively preached the gospel and confirmed the word with signs following. We read in that chapter about a man named Simon, a sorcerer, who saw the ability of the disciples to lay hands on someone and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, how much do you want for that? I'll pay you in order to have that ability that you have. It'll help me in my sorcery. You know, people look up to me even more. That's where we get the term simony. Simon the sorcerer, describing those who would make merchandise of sacred things, of the gospel. Does that, you know, resonate in the society in which we live? Amen. So-called Christians, so-called ministers, making merchandise of people and selling what Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Praise be to God. But now Philip is bearing all this fruit. There's a major harvest of souls in Samaria. And what does God tell him? I have something else for you to do. I'm going to take you from this great harvest field and set you down in Gaza, which was a desert, because there's one person I want you to minister to there. How many of us would be willing to just abandon it all? You know, what if this church just filled this place to overflowing and God says, okay, enough of that. Now I want you to go minister to a homeless man in Liberty. You can find him in an alley in a cardboard box, and I want you to forsake all this and go bring the gospel to him. We'd have no choice but to obey. Amen. Just as Philip had no choice. And this is a great illustration of ministering according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he left that harvest to invest in one stalk of wheat, the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He had been worshiping in Jerusalem, which means he was obviously a proselyte to the Jewish religion. And now he's in his chariot on his way back to Ethiopia. And this is where God sends Philip to this one man. Note the exact timing of Philip's encounter, just as the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53 about the suffering Messiah. God's timing is always perfect, isn't it? If we'll listen and take heed to the Holy Spirit. I told you about that man in the Assemblies of God Church I got saved in, Jim Tanner. He would go wherever he went. We used to have Lloyd's in Middletown. I don't know if you're familiar with that old department store. He was the first to innovate that whole thing where you put food and clothes and all kinds of stuff in one store. At any rate, he would go to Lloyd's to go shopping, and he'd just wait on the Lord. And the Lord would point him to somebody. Maybe somebody sitting on a bench outside waiting for the wife to get done shopping or whatever. And he'd go up, sit next to the man, and before you knew it, you could look, and he was like this, praying the man into the kingdom. Guy was just amazing. Heard from the Holy Spirit time and time again, okay, Lord, I'll wait upon you, that one. And he'd go, and he'd share the gospel, and before you knew it, he was leading them to Christ. Praise be to God. The eunuch was converted, baptized, and went on his way rejoicing, and Philip was swept to Azotus, someplace else, and he wound up eventually in Caesarea. We read later in Acts that he apparently settled down there and had four daughters, all of whom prophesied. But he took heed to the ministry that he had received in the Lord, and he fulfilled it, didn't he? Just leading that one person to the Lord. God knows how many people that treasurer got to share with in Ethiopia, the gospel. You know, there's a whole, what are they, Coptic Christians they're called? Yeah. Ethiopia and Egypt and different places of that region. It probably all stemmed from this one man being saved and spreading the word. We see that humility, obedience, boldness, and faithfulness produce effective ministers. But let me share the ultimate qualification of a Christian minister, and I'll close down or wind down with this. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are rounded up by the Jewish believers and warned not to preach Jesus anymore, not to preach in that name. This is after they had healed the man lame from birth. And verse 13 of Acts chapter 4 is my focus. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were uneducated, they hadn't been to seminary, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, what? That they had been with Jesus. That's the main qualification of ministry. We need to have spent time with Jesus in his holy presence, being fed the word, being fed by his spirit, and then we can go forth filled with the Holy Ghost. This was their main credential. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. You know, I just wanted to share that that business of clergy and laity. You ever hear of John Huss? He was a great man of God, lived in the 14th and 15th centuries. He was martyred. Why? Because he preached the priesthood of all believers. And the Roman church didn't want to hear that, because they had a monopoly on the priesthood. Oh, you can't read the word. God forbid, you might misinterpret it. You need a priest to tell you what it means. Wycliffe, he put it in the hands of the people. You know, I think I shared something about him last week. But ultimately, they called him before a council, you know, a Roman council, Roman church is what I'm talking about. And they tried to get him to recant. You know, he put the gospel, he put the scriptures, the Bible, in the hands of common people. He had a whole crew of people copying it by hand. This was before printing presses. And when they were about to sit him down and declare that he was a heretic, this earthquake and this giant storm came, and they had to cancel the meeting. And then he died before they could haul him back up there. But you know what they did? They dug up his body and they put his bones in a chair and condemned him as a heretic, and then they burned the bones. That's how entrenched they were in their heretical teachings. Praise be to God. As a royal priesthood, each of us becomes Archippus, right? God has called us to a ministry, and he says, fulfill it. I'll show you how. I'll give you the ability. I'll guide you and lead you. I'll empower you. Just be obedient. That's all God ever asks, obedience. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you that we are a priesthood of believers, a priesthood or a holy priesthood, Lord God, and that each of us has a ministry, Lord. Father, there is no task too small. If you call us to clean toilets, help us to do it to the best of our ability, Lord God. Hallelujah. I think of a brother named Green. I forget his first name. But that's what he did. He was a janitor at the church. And God raised him up to start a mega ministry, one led of the Lord, not like a bunch of mega ministries out there, and write a book, which is one of the most convicting books I've ever read in my life, in its simplicity and how far we can drift from the Lord. Father, help us, Lord, that whatever you've called us to do it heartily as unto you, and not give men eye service, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, help us each to fulfill, to complete our ministry, Lord, so that we can lay it down as a crown before you when we come into your holy presence. We thank you, Lord God. We glorify your name. Father, just inspire us to go forth as Christian soldiers, Lord, defeating the enemy, defeating our own fears and doubts, and sharing the gospel, Lord, the engrafted word that is able to save men's souls. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Praise God.
A new pair of glasses. I'm hoping they're going to help me with this. Hey, you know, I'm old, like here, trying to get it in focus and read it and making mistakes and everything else. But hopefully they'll work better. I need to smash it someplace on the wall. So
there you go.
Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Jack, would you close in prayer?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you so much for the restoration that you have placed in our lives. We were dead in our sins, and we were rebellious to you, and we were doing all the things that those who are sick with the disease of sin do, and you reconciled us.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
You redeemed us.
Thank you, Lord.
You came yourself and died and became sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. And Lord, we thank you that you have reconciled us to the Father. You came to bring us to the Father. And now here we are in the presence of the King, in the presence of our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love, as do you, and as does our blessed Holy Spirit. And you have filled us with your Spirit and given us, too, that same ministry to reconcile, the ministry of reconciliation, letting people know that you're not angry, that you recognize that they are sick, that they have a disease and they need a physician. And you have given us the opportunity to share in the great ministry of reconciliation that God is love and God is light, as the brother said earlier, and in Him is no darkness at all, not even a shadow when He turns. He is awesome and beautiful. And Lord, so we pray, Father, that you make us servants of yours, filled with your Spirit, yes, Lord, having Jesus. Ears to hear and eyes to see what you would have us do as ministers of reconciliation, yes, to a hurting and a devastated world that ever needs our Father, needs to be brought to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. So give us these opportunities, Lord, as we seek to remain in that good place of being filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We'd like to tell you what we did at Children's Church today.
Yeah.
Rose is going to, you know, give us a praise report.
Okay.